The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
The center can be reached for halachic services, consultations, and shilas at 888-485-VAAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
In Parashat Toldos, the Torah describes Esav as a great hunter. Vayigdalu hanarim, vayhi Esav ish yodea tzayid ish sadeh, v'yakov ishtam yoshev aholim. Several parashiyos earlier, the Torah describes someone else as a great hunter, Nimrod. Hu haya gibor tzayid lufnei Hashem, al ken yeyamar ki Nimrod gibor tzayid lufnei Hashem. Due to this commonality, there is a variety of midrashim, Mamari Chazal, that connect Nimrod and Esav. The common theme is that there was a lethal quarrel between them, and that this quarrel was related to special garments, the Begodim HaChamudos that the Torah describes later in Parashat Toldos, Vatikach Rivka et Bigdei Esav b'no HaGadol HaChamudos, Lesherito Babayis, Vatalbeshes Yaakov b'no HaKatan. But the exact nature of this quarrel, and how it related to the Begodim HaChamudos, is actually the subject of considerable dispute among these midrashim. Their midrashim say explain the story in virtually opposite ways. According to one midrash, it was apparently Esav who started out with these clothes. They had originally been the clothes of Adam Arishon. This garment belonged to Adam Arishon, and they had a skula that all the animals and birds would come and flock around the wearer. And it was Nimrod who wanted the clothes. Nimrod had chemda for them. Nimrod wanted to kill Esav to steal the clothes. According to another midrash, perhaps a better known midrash, it was just the opposite. Nimrod had the special clothes that all the animals would gather around, and midrash adds that it would make it easy for the hunter, because the animals would gather and the birds, and they would be nitzod in melein, they'd be automatically trapped. Esav was the one who had chemda for them, and Esav actually assassinated Nimrod in order to take the clothes, and that's how he became a great hunter. That's how he became Yodea Tzayid. He had help. He had the special clothes. So both these midrashim say the quarrel was about the clothes, but in the first version, in Bereishis Rabbah's version, Nimrod wanted to kill Esav. He obviously wasn't successful because of the clothes. According to the second version, it was just the opposite. It was Esav who actually did kill Nimrod because of the clothes. There are other midrashim that say that the quarrel was not about the clothes at all. There are other midrashim that say that Esav and Nimrod were hunters. Nimrod, when he saw Esav was hunting, Nimrod said, I'm the Gibor Tzayid. I'm the chief hunter around here. Nobody's allowed to hunt in these fields without my permission." So Nimrod set up a time, set a date where they would duel to the death. Esav was very worried about this. Esav consulted with Yaakov. He said, "You know, what should I do? I have to fight Nimrod." Yaakov explained to him that as long as Nimrod has the special clothes, the Begadav HaChamudos, you can't win. So Yaakov was very, very smart. Yaakov knew how to give good advice. What was the advice he gave? You have to tell Nimrod to take off his clothes. Then you can win. And that's what happened. Esav managed to convince Nimrod to take off his clothes, and then Esav was able to win, and he killed Nimrod. How did he persuade Nimrod to take off his clothes? It's not clear. Maybe he appealed to his pride and said, "Let's see if you can beat me in a fair fight." It's not clear. But whatever it was, according to this chat, it was just the opposite. The quarrel wasn't about the clothes. The clothes going from Nimrod to Esav, that was a consequence of the quarrel, which was originally about hunting prerogatives. Who had the right to hunt? According to one version of the Midrash, he just persuaded Nimrod to take off the clothes. According to another version, Esav was such a devious scoundrel that when Nimrod took off the clothes, Esav put them on. Why did the clothes matter? How would they affect the outcome of the fight? So according to one version of the Midrash, the clothes had a skula that chayos rose, dangerous animals would come and help whoever wore them. So the first midrashim said they helped the hunter because they helped attract animals which would then be caught. According to this version, they attracted animals who would help fight. And that was why Esav was afraid. How can I beat Nimrod? So Yaakov said, get him to take off his clothes, and then you'll be able to beat him. The pasuk describes on that fateful day of the in the beginning of Parashat Toldos, where Esav sold the Bechorah, it says, Esav said, Ki ayeif anochi, I am weary, I'm tired. So several of these midrashim make a connection, a kind of gzeira shava, that Esav said, Ki ayeif anochi, and there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, it says, Ayna li ki ayifa nafshi lahargim. So the word ayifa is used in the context of hargim. So some of the Midrashim say that Esav had killed someone. Esav had murdered or killed someone. We mentioned one Midrash that he killed Nimrod, and that that day that he came in to Yaakov and said, give me the food, and he sold the Bechara, that was the day that he killed Nimrod. According to that approach, though, it doesn't seem to have been such a terrible thing to do. It was self-defense. Nimrod said, you have to fight me, and he actually consulted Yaakov, and Yaakov gave him the advice about the clothes. So it seems the killing wasn't self-defense. There is, however, another version of Ki Ayifa Nafshi Lahargim. The Gemara in Bava Basra says that Esav did five terrible averus. Esav did five terrible averus on that day. Chamesh averus, Rabbi Yochanan says, Over Oso HaRasha Ba'Oso Hayom, Nara HaMarasa, he sinned with a Nara HaMarasa, Haragis HaNefesh, he killed, he was Kafar Be'ikar, he was Kafar B'Tchias HaMesim, V'Shatas HaBachara, terrible averus, Haragis HaNefesh, because it says, Ki ayefa nochi, and it says, ki ayefa nafshi lahargim. So according to this midrash, similar in Shmos Rabbah, it seems that he murdered. He didn't kill in self-defense. That could be consistent with the first version of the earlier version of the midrash we mentioned, that the quarrel was not about hunting. Esav simply wanted Nimrod's clothes, so he murdered him to steal the clothes. Or it could have been about something else entirely. But anyway, according to some explanations of the midrashim, it sounds like Esav killed Nimrod in self-defense. According to other versions, he murdered him to steal his clothes, or he just did some other murder on that day. These midrashim are assuming that Esav already killed someone on that day, perhaps Nimrod. There is another version of the midrash quoted by the Balei Tosfos that Esav had not killed Nimrod yet. That when Esav told Yaakov, Hinei Anochi Halech Lamus, so he had that duel set up with Nimrod. He knew that Nimrod had set up the duel. And Esav was despairing. He said, I can't beat Nimrod. Hinei Anochi Halech Lamus. Balei Tosfos point out, this is different from the Midrash that says he had already killed Nimrod. According to this version of the Midrash, at the same story of the quarrel over the hunting and the duel, he had not yet killed Nimrod. And he said, what am I going to do? Hinei Anochi Halech Lamus. I'm going to die. And that's how the story went. Balei Tosfos note, though, that we can explain Anochi Halech Lamus differently. We can explain that when Esav said, Hinei Anochi Halech Lamus, I'm gonna die, he didn't mean because of the Midrash about Nimrod. He meant, every day I go in dangerous places, the Makom Sakana, my job as an outdoorsman, as a hunter, takes me into peril, therefore I'm not gonna live long, and I'm going to die. That's more LP Pshuto Shel Mikra. And a number of other Rishonim also explain the Pasuk the same way, that when Esav said, Hinei Anochi Halech Lamus, he meant because his hunting was a very dangerous occupation. Ibn Ezra says this, Kasher Yetze Latzud Shema Yaragu Chayas, and he thought he would predecease Yitzchak. Ramban says the same thing, that the reason Esav sold the Bechara is because Holech Lamus Betzudo HaChayas, the hunting was a dangerous occupation. Rashbam says the same thing, he would go out to the forest, and there would be bears and lions, Dubim V'arayos V'chayas Ros, and I'm going to die, so I'm not going to outlive my father. The Rashbam brings this from his father, Harav Rabbi Meir. Shmuel ben Meir brings this from his father. So, aside from all the midrashim about the drama between Esav and Nimrod, the Pshuto Shel Mikra, as expressed by a number of Rishonim, is that Hinei Anochi Halech Lamus, Esav thought he would die because of his hunting. This idea is mentioned by the Noda Yehuda in a very famous tshuva he has on hunting. A rich man who had all kinds of villages and forests wanted to know if hunting, a popular occupation of the leisure classes in Europe, wanted to know if hunting was mutter al pi Torah. So the Noda Yehuda discusses a number of possible issues with hunting. First, he discusses tzar balei chayim, you're killing animals for no real reason. He says, no, first of all, we paskin, there's some debate about this, he says, but we paskin anything that is tzarech la'adam, that is useful for a person, doesn't have tzar balei chayim. This, I guess, is somewhat useful. You enjoy hunting. Furthermore, he says, tzar balei chayim is only if you keep the animal alive. If you kill animals, that doesn't violate the ister of tzar balei chayim. Achronim debate this. Marsham and Daftara brings posting about this. This is machlokis, but this is what the Rebbe Yehuda held, If you kill the animal, there's no tzar balechayim. What about baltashkes? You're just destroying animals? First of all, he says no, because even if you can't eat them when you kill them, when you hunt them, you can use the hides. The hides are worth money. Also, it's not derech hashchasa. This is a, you're not out to be destructive. This is an occupation you enjoy. So it's not derech hashchasa. Furthermore, he says, an interesting chiddush, he says, baltashkes is only something that's potentially useful, like the example of the Torah. We learn even if general baltashkes is drabanan, it ultimately has to do with the pasuk in the Torah about cutting down fruit trees, he says. The fruit tree is something that could be useful. You should eat it, and don't cut it down. So, kol tikun rabbanan kein daraisa tikun, baltashkes only applies to things that are potentially useful. These animals, he says, wild animals in the forest, what use are they going to be when they're alive? They're not useful to anybody. The only thing humans can do with them is to hunt them and take their skins and take the meat. And that's exactly what you're doing, he says. So they can't be baltashkes. You're maximizing the value that human beings can have from these animals. What about minog, he says? You tell me it's a minog to prohibit it, he says. It's not really a minog, he says. Something which is lo shchiach, it's an infrequent thing. Not that many Jews hunt, he says. Not many Jews have the wherewithal and the opportunity to hunt. You can't call that a minog. So that's Mi'ikra Din, he says. Mi'ikra Din, he doesn't think it's Tzar Balechayim, doesn't think it's Baltashkes, doesn't think it's Aser Mikach Minog, he says. But Mitzad HaMusr, Mitzad Midos, he says. Ma'od Ani Tama, he says. How can you think of such a thing, he says. A Jew hunting, he says. He says very, very cuttingly, he says, very trenchantly, he says. Lo Matzinu Ish Tzayid. The only hunters we find in the Torah are Nimrod and Esav. And this is not the culture of Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. How can a Jewish person, Ish Yisraeli, be a dayim, kill balechayim for no reason, just to entertain himself? This is entirely against the mussar, the ethic of Klal Yisrael. He says, if someone's doing it for parnasa, he says, that's not achzarius. You're allowed to shecht animals to eat them. And what's the difference if you shecht them to eat them? You shecht them as a trapper to make a living by selling hides, he says. That's a legitimate thing to do. Animals are here for people's use, so we don't worry about achzarius when you're doing something to make a living, he says. But you're not doing it to make a living just for fun, he says. That's achzarius. And that's, he says, mitzad yosher ha'anhaga. But also he says it's aser mi'ikra din. Why? Not because of baltashchis and tzar balechayim, which he already disposed of. It's aser, he says, because it's dangerous. The Torah says, v'nishmartem ma'od l'nafshoseichem, going into forests, there are great dangers, there are wild animals there, he says. And then he brings what we said before. Who was a gadol v'uma and baki b'tzeda? Who was a great, renowned hunter? Esav, the Torah says. The Torah endorses Esav as a hunter. Vahi Esav ish yadei tzayit. And look what happened. Esav said, hinei anochi holech lamus. Esav himself was pessimistic about his prospects. He said, how am I, I'm not going to live, he says. And even though, of course, we said there are midrashim that interpret holech lamus differently, there are other ways to explain holech lamus. But nevertheless, the Nabi Yehuda says, ein mikra yotzi midei pshuto. The simple reading of the Pasuk is that it was dangerous to go hunting. He brings the Ramban, as we noted, it's other Rishonim as well. And therefore, how can a Jew risk his life to go hunting? Once again, he says, if a Jew is doing this for Parnassa, there is a heter. Just like people, merchants, they travel the oceans, he says. And anything a person has to do to make a living, the Torah allows. He brings a famous idea. The Torah says, ve'elav u'noseyes nafsho. The Torah exhorts you to pay a worker on time because he risks his life to do the work for you. And Chazal say, what does that mean? It's a difficult pasuk to translate, but Chazal interpreted that it means he risked his life to do his job. He was Ola Bekevesh, or Nitla Be'ilan. He climbed on scaffolds, and he climbed a tree, and he risked his life, Lo Al Scharo. So you see, the Torah says that a person is allowed to engage in a somewhat dangerous occupation to make a living. But someone who that's not his goal, he's not out to make Parnassi, he says, and just mitaivas libo, because he wants to indulge his interest in leisure, he goes to a dangerous place and risks his life, he violates v'nishmartem ma'od, he says. You're not allowed to do that. So that's not Behuda's maskana. It's not aser because of tzar balechayim, or baltashkes, or minhag, but it's achzarius, and it's against the ethic of Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You're putting yourself in the camp of Nimrod and Esav, and also it's aser because it's dangerous, and danger would be mutter for parnasa, but not for mere leisure. This basic idea that based on the pasuk of Elav Unosius Nafsho and the Gemara's interpretation above Metzia that a worker risks his life, this is picked up by a number of other achronim in different contexts. Ramosha Feinstein allows someone to play some type of sport for Parnassa. He would get paid for playing it, even though there's some element of danger. Because of this drasha that you see from Chazal, a person is allowed to assume some level of risk in order to make a living. Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva. He discusses doctors assuming some risk to treat patients. Obviously, Post can say you should avoid risk wherever you can, personal protective equipment, and so on. But assuming you're in a situation where some level of risk is inevitable, so he has various reasons why a doctor can and should do that, which is the consensus of other poskim as well. One of his reasons is, if the doctor is getting paid, ve'elef unosias nafsho, a person is allowed to assume a certain level of risk in order to make a living. This basic idea that engaging in dangerous activity to earn a living is acceptable was actually first proposed before the Noda B'Yehuda by the Tzemach Tzedek of Nicholsburg 400 years ago. He was focusing not on whether it's legitimate for an employee to accept such employment, but rather on whether it was legitimate for an employer to offer such employment to an employee. His case was someone paid someone else to go somewhere, to travel somewhere on his behalf, and the employee was crossing a river over some kind of bridge, and he slipped, and he fell into the water, and he drowned. The question was whether the employer is morally culpable for the death. In earlier generations, they took the idea of formal tshuva, particularly tshuva for wrongful death, very seriously. Tshuva wasn't just what we do today, the ikriya tshuva of charata and aziva sachet and kabbalah la'asid and vidui. Tshuva meant formal penance. It meant fasting and other types of self-mortification. So the question was, is an employer who sent an employee on a dangerous mission, which resulted in his death, is he morally liable? Does he have to accept tshuva? So the Tzemach Tzedek brings from Kadmonim, from early poskim, that yes, indeed, the Meshalech in such cases is morally liable. And he says, and because of these poskim, I myself, the Tzemach Tzedek says, I was careful to avoid sending Jewish employees into dangerous situations, and I objected to others that they shouldn't do that, he says. Other people wouldn't listen to me, and they did it over my objections, he said. But Lahalacha, he says, he's not sure this is really correct. This that the earlier post can say, that someone who sends an employee on a dangerous job and results in him getting killed, that he's morally responsible, he thinks that you can challenge that. And he says the same point Nod Behuda makes, basically, from the employer's perspective. He says that the Torah says, ve'elav hu nosei es nafsho, and the Gemara says, Rashi brings, he risks his life to earn a living, he says. So you see this is common, that this is something we anticipate, that employees risk their lives to do their jobs, he says. If this is something that's morally problematic, that the employer would be morally liable for any resulting death to the employee, he says, then how could we hire employees to do that, he says. How can we do that? How would we be allowed to hire workers? He says that the Torah testifies that this is something that's done. That davar matzehu shchiyahu. So it must be, he says, that this is legitimate, and that since the employee accepts the job, again, knowing that it's dangerous. If you don't explain to him that it's dangerous, he doesn't realize that might be a problem. But misvari, he says, based on this pasuk and this idea of Chazal, we could argue that as long as he understands the danger and accepts it, there's no liability that adheres to the employer, and therefore you wouldn't need a kapara. However, he says that he himself would say there's nothing wrong, that he does not need a kapara, la halacha, he says. Aval lamaisa, he says, halacha lamaisa, there are kedosh mashe ba'aratema, the gedolei aposkim, the kadmonim, all say that you do need some level of kapara. He defers to them. He says, I can't dismiss their opinion, he says, and therefore you do need some kind of kapara, he says. Fast 40 days, and if the person left young children, he says, you should give them some tzedakah, and that's what he should do. But this basic idea, misvara at least, he doesn't want to rule this way 100% halach lamaisa, but misvara, he has the same idea as Noda B'Yehuda, that it's legitimate to hire someone to engage in dangerous activity. There is a dissenting view, at least, to the Tzemach Tzedek's application to this principle, besides the fact that he says the Kadmonim implicitly didn't accept it. The Yad Eliyahu of Lublin, he brings the Tzemach Tzedek, this idea that Elev Hunosius Nafsho apparently indicates that it's legitimate to engage in hazardous occupation for money. Yad Eliyahu says no. He says, it's not what the Pasuk means. The pasuk means sometimes it turned out, it wasn't anticipated, but it turns out that there was something, that there was a dangerous experience the employee had in his job. But not that lechatchila, he says, if it's shchiach hezekah, that he should be allowed to do this. Certainly not, he says. You can't hire him, and he can't even accept the job himself. And the person who hired him violates lifnei iver, he says. So the Yad Eliyahu is an outlier view. He seems to reject the opinion of all these other poskim, you know, Behuda, and Ramosha, and the Tzitzeliezer, and the Tzemach Tzedek. All these poskim suggest that elif unoseis nafsho means that lechatchila, you're allowed to accept, to undertake a dangerous occupation for parnasa. Yad Eliyahu says, no, the pasuk just means, sometimes it turns out, retroactively, that there was some risk involved in your job. But not that lechatchila, it's mutter. It's hard to know exactly what the machlokas is. Presumably everybody would agree if the risk is de minimis, you know, we cross the street, you can get hit by a car, you drive on a highway. Presumably everyone agrees that if the risk is very low, then it's mutter. Maybe even after parnasa, it's mutter. And presumably everyone agrees if the risk is very, very high, then it's a problem. So machlokas would seem to be somewhere in the middle, exactly how to quantify how much risk is acceptable, according to Nodeb Yehuda and the Tzemach Tzedek v'siyatam, and how much risk is not acceptable, even according to them, and how much risk is not acceptable, according to the Yad Eliyahu. It's difficult to articulate exactly how much risk is acceptable. And still, Nodeb Yehuda, going back to Nodeb Yehuda, he prohibited hunting not because of baltashkes or tzar balechayim, but because of risk. And he also said it's achzarius. The truth is, the first posik to discuss hunting, the first major posik to discuss hunting, actually is in the time of the Rishon, the Ar Zerua. The Ar Zerua says, Omer ani hamachaber, anyone who hunts animals, beklavim, via dogs, he says, the way the non-Jew, the Gentiles do, the European Gentiles hunted, a popular sport in Europe, he says, to hunt with animals. Such a person is doing a terrible thing, and he won't merit to see the Simcha, the Levyasan. Why? What's the source and rationale for this Isser, he says. Gemara Navodazara says, the Gemara talks about Moshe of Leitzim. The Gemara says a number of activities that are problems of Moshe of Leitzim. One of them is that the Gemara says, Darash of Shimon ben Pazi, Ashrei ha'yesh asher lo halach, where shouldn't you go? L'tartiyosh, l'karkasosh, shalakum, v'derech ha'toyim lo amad, he didn't stand in the path of sinners, Shlo Amad b'kanigyon. He didn't stand at a kanigyon. What exactly is a kanigyon? Rashi says, Tzedas chai al yidei klovim. Trapping animals via dogs. They do it for schok and simcha, for entertainment, for leisure. And the Gemara says, that's what the pasuk means when it says, uvederech hatoim, when it says, uvederech hatoim lo amad, that means he didn't engage in kanigyon, which according to Rashi means hunting with dogs. So the Ar Zerua says, such a person is not going to merit the Simchas Levyasan. The Dark Emotion, the Ramah actually bring this. The Dark Emotion says that the Dark Emotion says it's Usur because of Moshe of Leitzim. The whole Sugya there in Avodah Zarah is discussing Moshe of Leitzim. And Ramah and Shulchan Aruch brings Yesh Amrim that this is a problem, that you're not allowed to hunt. So the Sefer Beis David of Rav Zev Wolf Leiter, he says that his correspondent brought this up. He says, Nodeb Yehuda is looking for reasons to prohibit hunting. He talks about Tzar Balechayim and Baltashkes and ultimately concludes that it's not Yoshera and Haga, it's Achzarius, and that it's dangerous. He says, I have a basic reason, Niflad Dover. He says it's a Mefurish Ar Zerua, which is brought by the Poskim. He says it's based on a Gemara Avodah Zarah, that it's a Moshe of Leitzim. So it's a basic reason. It's Asur because of Moshe of Leitzim. The Beis David says, Rav Leiter says that we can also bring a raya from other Rishonim, though, that it's actually mutter. The halacha lemaisa, hunting is mutter. He brings a raya from the Tur in Yoredeya, discussing Kilayim. The Tur brings from that Rabbeinu Ephraim said that someone who hunts on a horse, he's riding a horse to hunt, and he takes a dog along on a rope. He's Moshech Bechevel, he has a leash, he has a rope attached to dogs. And he pulls the dogs alongside the horse. So Rabbeinu Ephraim said that is lokem ishamanik bekalayim. You're leading two different species, a horse and a dog, together. You got malchus for violating kalayim. The Avi Ezri says that ain't sad iser bedavar. That does not violate kalayim. So, putting aside the issues of kalayim, all these Rishonim seem to understand, certainly the Avi Ezri says, halacha lemaisit, he seems to say it's mutter, not just you're not lokem isham kalayim. You could learn he means you don't get, there's no iser because of kalayim, but it's still oster as Moshe of Leitzim. But the Beis David says It seems the Pashup Shad is that Avi Ezri held hunting was actually mutter. Even Rabbeinu Ephraim only said the Isser is Kilayim, but at least Avi Ezri, he says, he seems to hold that there is no Isser of hunting. There's no Isser against hunting, not because of any of the reasons we mentioned, and not because of Moshe of Leitzin. There are other Achronim, though, from the 17th century, 18th century on, who take positions similar to the Noda Behuda, that hunting is Osir, and they actually, Italian Achronim, they come up with a variety of reasons, about a half dozen different reasons, including all the ones we've mentioned, plus other ones. The Shemesh Tzedakah of Rav Shimshon Marpurgo, an Italian Rav, he says that he's very upset. He says Jewish men that Zera Kodesh, Ben Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gomle Chasadim, and a terrible michshel, he says, they engage in Schok Vehitel, they go out to Mulchemes Rishus, Mulchemes Yetzer Hara with weapons, and they just kill animals, he says, and terrible thing, Lazos Yechrad Lev, Hayarius Dvar Hashem, everyone should be shocked by this, he says, what a terrible, terrible thing to do, and he comes up with a number of reasons why this is usher. Tzar Bale Chaim, he says. Unlike Noda Behuda, who says it's not Tzar Bale Chaim for various reasons, he says it is Tzar Bale Chaim, he says. This violates Tzar Bale Chaim. He says the Torah is so strict about Tzar Bale Chaim. He says, furthermore, making nevela itself is an Isser. There's an Isser in making an animal into a nevela without a good reason, he says. Kal v'chomer, ben benoshel kal v'chomer. In this case, he says, Tzar Bale Chaim, also Bal Tashchis. Noda Behuda had a variety of reasons why he felt it was not Bal Tashchis. Rav Marpurgo says it is Bal Tashchis, and also the Isser of Menavel B'Yadayim, so that's three Isserim, Tzar Bale Chaim, Bal Tashchis, Menavel B'Yadayim, Osir Gomer Min HaTorah. And he says, and furthermore, there's Isser Kolel and Isser Mosif, additional Isser, Moshev Leitzin, brings the Gemara Avodah Zarah, brings in another part of that Sugya. The Gemara talks about Holchin Leitz Tadinim, people who go to different types of theaters. Later the Gemara says, Darash Rav Shimon, that earlier in the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Haolech Leitz Tadinin Ulecharkom, and he sees animals, Nechashim, Chaverin, Bukin, Mukion, Mulion, different types of entertainments they used to go to. Harezim Moshev Leitzim. And that's what the Pasuk means when it says, Ashrei Ha'esh, Asher Lo Halach. Kim Bataras Hashem Cheftzo, that these things bring to Bittel Torah and their Moshev Leitzim. So Rav Shimshon Marpurgo says, besides Tzar Bale Chaim, Menavel B'Yadayim, Bal Tashchis, this is also Aser because of Moshev Leitzim, which is an echo of the Arzarua. He goes on, he explains Alpi Kabbalah, this is a terrible thing because the Tachlis of the bird is to have itself fulfilled by Shchita, and you're not doing that. But he goes on, he concludes, this is a terrible thing. Back to our Parsha, he says, that, look, Yabitu el Tzur Chutzavtem, Yaakov Avinu, Ishtam, Yoshev Ohalim. Why would somebody want to engage in Hevel, echoing the Noda Behuda, to engage in the umnus of Yaakov, he was before the Noda Behuda, to engage in the umnus of Achiv HaRasha, his Esav, his villainous brother, Ish Yadei Atzayed, Ish Sada. Furthermore, even Esav, he brings Midrashim, even Esav didn't kill the animals and make them treif, he knew how to shech them with his arrows, he says. But certainly, he says, "Ein ruach hamakom v'habrios noche menu." Hunting is a vile occupation. That it's again, it's bad midos. He says to instill in our souls, we're supposed to be rachmanim bnei rachmanim, to instill midos achzarius, to kill animals for no reason. He brings the Gemara. The Gemara says, "V'chi Moshe Rabbeinu kanigi haya." How did Moshe know all about the animals? The simanim of the animals. Was he a kanigi? Why couldn't Moshe be a kanigi? So Rashi says Kanigi is someone who traps animals. Rashi Avodah Zarah brings it as a raya that Kanigi means a trapper. So that's what it means. Was Moshe a Kanigi? Of course not. Kanigim, that's against the Yosher Anhaga. That's against the Midas of Rachmanim Bnei Rachmanim, he says. Sof Dover, he says that someone should not do this. Chas V'Shalom, he'll violate Bal Tashchis, Tzar Bale Chaim, Menavel B'Yadayim. Furthermore, he says someone who does this violates the Avera. He explains in his tshuva of Osis Chora, you're not allowed to do business with Dvar Masurim, with animals that are not kosher. If you get them, if you have them, you're allowed to sell them off, but to engage Lechatchila in Chora B'Dvar Masurim, that's Aser, and also Moshev Leitzim, and also many other serious Averis, he says, and also Bad Midas, he says, and if they've done this until now, they have to stop, and this is a terrible thing. Similarly, in the Pachad Yitzchak, of Rav Yitzchak Lampranti, he brings a tshuva from Rav Shabsi, Ben Elisha, Rav Shabsi Min Hazakenim, someone he quotes in his encyclopedia very often. Rav Yitzchak Lampranti was, again, 17th to mid-18th century, also a little bit earlier than the Noda Behuda. He brings this a long tshuva from this Rav Shabsi ben Elisha min Hazakenim. The much of the tshuva is about this question of whether there's an isser of schara b'dvarim ha'asurim. If you kill animals while hunting, is that considered doing business with dvarim ha'asurim? But at the end of the tshuva, he says, besides that, it's a problem of Moshe Vleitim. He brings the Gemara that going to its tadinin, going to these theaters, these places of entertainment, is Moshe Vleitim. Kal v'chomer, he says, over there, you don't engage in these inappropriate activities. You just watch it, he says. It's still a Moshe Vleitim. You consider it a murderer, shofech damim, he says. Kol shkein benidon didan, that he himself is participating because of schok v'tiul, that it's certainly a Moshe Vleitim, and it's considered spilling of blood, shofech damim, and it's a terrible thing. He brings the Gemara about the Tartasos, Karkasos, he brings the Gemara about the Kanigion, B'derech Hatam lo Amad, B'Kanigion. You see how strict Chazal were about hunting animals with dogs. Even if you won't kill the animal, the dog may not kill it, it might not become a trefa, it'll just catch it for you. Certainly, he says, if you're doing it, be a dayan, you're killing the animals, he says, that's a terrible thing. Incidentally, when the Shemesh Tzedakah talks about why it's such terrible tzar balechayim, they were hunting apparently with guns at that time. He says, "Malanu tzar gadol mizeh, incredible tzar for the animal, listrof habehema chaya, to burn the behema alive be'aver with hot lead hachomeres bnei me'eha, that burns its insides." No, Rabbi Yehuda, when he discussed hunting, was also discussing apparently hunting with firearms. He refers to it as lelech ba'atzmo liros bekanes refa, to shoot with the fire stick. He felt it was not tzar balechayim because the animal dies, but the Shemesh Tzedakah said it dies a horrible death, having its insides burned up by hot lead. And similarly, Rav Shabsai ben Elisha min Hazakenim, he also says it's a terrible thing because he focuses primarily on the Moshe Vleitzim. He says that, furthermore, it's an isser of kukus hagayim, he says. Since the non-Jews do this, they engage in hunting with their weapons as a form of entertainment. B'chukoseim lo telechu. B'nimusha shalahem, that their customs, their culture, you shouldn't participate. You violate, you're doing this b'mered, duvafesha, he says. It's a terrible thing to do this, he says. Sof davar. He says, and any motzei pesach liskos, you cannot be matur such a thing. Someone who's mekil is ein biyado raya machras. No, without a raya machras, is no sin yad laposhim, he says. Yisrael kadoshim ur nagubo isser. No, Yehuda said, there's no minog here because it's relatively uncommon. He says, no, this is something where there's a minog to aser. Umidina nami asura, it's aser mikra din because of schara bedvarim asurim and Moshe Vleitzim and b'chukoseim lo telechu. The truth is, this idea of Moshe Vleitzim, which again goes back to the Arzarua, it's a little difficult to know when to apply Moshe Vleitzim, or leisure, playing basketball, doing anything. How do we know what's Moshe Vleitzim? There is a tshuva in the Marimi Bruna, who's Mesupuk, that perhaps watching jousting, medieval jousting, Renaissance jousting, watching people fight for entertainment, he says, Efshir, that might be Oster because of Moshe Vleitzim. But again, it's difficult to know what is playing ball aser. Menashe Klein argues that watching ball or listening to ball games on the radio is Moshe Vleitzim, but we engage in playing ball. It's exercise maybe, but we engage in other activities. We play games, even chess. There is a Prima Gadim. The Mishnah Berurah brings a Prima Gadim who says that playing chess could be aser because of Moshe Vleitzim, but it's a Pella. A Pella on the Mishnah Berurah, because many other Achronim mention that people did play chess, and Gedolei Yisrael played chess. The Knesset Gedolah brings that various Gedolei Yisrael play chess, it's hard to argue with Moshe Vleitzim, and that's the minhag today. We do engage, people do engage in leisure activities, even ones that are not exercise, that have no real value except for being an outlet and a form of leisure. So it's hard to know what we say is usher because of Moshe Vleitzim and what not. Perhaps the postkim, the Arzarua, and the Shemesh Tzedakah, who said that hunting is usher because of Moshe Vleitzim, perhaps they were building on the fact that they held it was cruel and that it was fundamentally against the nature of Jews, who are Rachmanim bnei Rachmanim, bnei Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, and it's the omnis of Esav. But it's very difficult to understand halacha l'maisa, what types of leisure activities are usher because of Moshe Vleitzim. Similarly, with the tshuva of Reb Shabsi min Hazakenim, with his argument that it's chukus hagayim, again, a lot of things we do. We play basketball and baseball and chess and all those things, can be argued to be chukas hagayim, but obviously we say that we generally follow the idea that even aspects of culture that come from the non-Jews, if they're rational, poskim adopt the standard of the Marik and the Ran, that rational behavior is not chukas hagayim. If it serves a purpose, if it's harmless, it's not pritzus, or if it's not fundamentally antithetical to Jewish values, it's not moshev leitzim. It's not chukas hagayim. So again, it's not so easy to understand how we decide what's chukas hagayim and what's not. Again, one could suggest that the reason he felt this was chukas hagayim is because it was antithetical to Jewish values. Because, as the other acronym said, it's against the culture of Nimrod and Esav, and not the attitude of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who are Ishtam, Yoshev, Ohalim, who are Rachmanim, Bnei Rachmanim.
The Beis Havad on the Parsha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultations, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.